everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. John is engineering and producing our program as we launch into a new month. Bye-bye, January. I've never been a big fan of January. I much prefer February. So here we go. Thursday, February 1st, 2024. We're into our 14th year. One full month into the 14th year with the radio project, coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on the Bustos Media Campus, where we have five radio stations under one roof. This is 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. and KVOI.com. Our live line for our telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And let's get going now with our monthly interview with the lone Republican on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. He's Steve Christie. He represents District Number 4. Supervisor Christie, your district includes Mount Lemmon. I guess the snow that was up there has melted, but we may get some. I mean, they're pretty much certain. I think the forecast is 100% chance of showers. And that, of course, will mean snow on the mountain.
Yeah, up above 6,000 level. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for bringing that up, because it is important to note that Ski Valley is open.
It is?
It is open, and they're expecting 6 to 14 inches of snow from this incoming system you were referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And a winter weather advisory is starting at 8 o'clock tonight. And it's important to remember, especially with these conditions, that if you're going to go up there to ski or play up in Pima County's playground, to call for road conditions. And, of course, that's so essential, because they may close the road at any time. So if you folks listening are planning to go up there, make sure you call 520-351-3351 for road conditions. And you might have also heard that the village is in stage 3 water restrictions. They're having some water issues up there.
In Summerhaven?
In Summerhaven.
Water restrictions?
Yeah. Stage 3, they haven't gotten enough snowfall and snow melt to capacitate what their needs are. So they've had to be restricted to a stage 3 level.
Hopefully this storm will give them some moisture.
Yep, hopefully. But it's important to know that the sinks in the community center and the public bathrooms are off.
Uh-oh.
So bring hand sanitizer.
Oh, my.
And while you're at the community center, get one of our free trash bags that our office provides. So that way you can help make sure that you don't leave any of your trash up there should you determine to go up there.
Boy, this is the first I've heard about a water shortage up on the mountain.
Yep.
Hopefully, again, that they will get plenty of snow. We have pretty good snow plows, don't we, in the county?
You know, I'm impressed. Here we are.
That's a trivia question. Do you think that Pima County, Tucson area has snow plows? Yes.
Well,
for Mount Lemmon.
It is, and it's kind of hard to get your hands around it, because we're a desert. We're a desert community, and the last thing you think about is needing snow plows.
But I know.
Our Pima County Department of Transportation, for what they do up on that mountain and the Hitchcock Highway, is just phenomenal, keeping it clear. They're so dedicated to doing that, and we're so grateful for their hard work.
I know you haven't seen the particular details. County Administrator Lesher will be sending out something to all of the board members about the so-called Blue Ribbon Task Force that was tasked, if you will, with looking at what should we do about the Pima County Jail. I believe, from what I understand, there were two conclusions from the board. One was build a completely new jail. Then the other would be a remodel type job, but it's expensive. I think I heard $600 million, something like that.
Yeah, $100 million there, $100 million here. Before you know it all adds up to some sort of money. But the issue that we've been dealing with, it, as far as I'm concerned, that's been misguided, is this Blue Ribbon Commission, and they're doing hard work, and I know they're dealing with a lot of pressures from a lot of interest groups, special interest groups in this, but I've always maintained that this Blue Ribbon Commission should be focusing on one thing and one thing alone, and that is to build or not to build, to remodel or not to remodel the jail. In other words, just focus solely on the condition of the jail and make a determination on that first. But what is happening is it's become distracted and diverted, again, referring to the misguidance that seems to be happening, is that these extra groups that are involved in the actual input into what's going on. Matter of fact, one of these groups disrupted a Blue Ribbon meeting, got to be kind of violent on their part, and they had to disband the meeting and go to a Zoom thing because of it, which is very unfortunate. But these groups are...
Oh, is that the group that said that they don't want any kind of jail?
I think yeah, something of that nature. Yeah. But that's my point, exactly, yeah. To your point, is that it's becoming so distracted and disjointed that they're instead of looking at the condition of the jail, which is all they should be looking at, they're looking at reimagining incarceration and jail policies. And that may or may not have a valid discussion, but that discussion, if it is valid, should be taken at another time, not when we're trying to figure out the actual physical plant style of the jail. Does it still have integrity in it that can be reutilized and revamped, or do we need to just bulldoze it down and build something else? Now, of course, they're talking about reducing these special interest groups are talking about reducing the jail population and no bail cutting back police resources and sheriff's resources to accommodate people outside the jail. This is
hard to get anything done these days.
Yeah, this is where everything gets confused and off course. And we'll see what the final report is.
2,000 people weighed in with their opinions on the jail. That was that public survey, and if I recall, it was about 1 in 5 that definitely said that they don't want anything at any jail.
Yeah,
I don't know.
This is what
no new jail, no new upgrade, nothing.
This is where everything gets bollocks down, and of course we get off course.
Well, meanwhile, the board, you and your colleagues, have heard that Pima County is not in that great a shape right now financially.
Well, this is true. We had got a very intense memorandum from County Administrator Lesher several weeks ago outlining a number of belt-tightening steps she's intending to take, everything from putting off capital projects, putting off procuring any kind of equipment or purchases, a hiring freeze, and a number of other steps to take care of what she feels is coming and coming very shortly. And that's real choppy waters economically that are going to affect the budget of Pima County and the ability of the county to deliver services.
Hmm. Do we know, is this partly because a lot of that federal money has dried up, the so-called COVID money?
Well, we've been, of course, slopping up at the trough of federal money for a number of years right now, and that is coming to an end. But there are inflationary factors involved. There's costs of goods and services going up, and I was very happy that County Administrator Lesher was addressing these issues, but the steps that she's taking, she forwarded them as some kind of, in my estimation, she was making them out to be some new or very revealing way to address cost cutting and economic belt tightening and things of this nature, which is all well and good. But I go back to my business because practically every step that she said she was going to implement to cut costs and to tighten belts, I did that in my business, if not monthly, weekly, and daily.
Mm-hmm.
And they were nothing new the years I was in business.
Long career in the automobile business.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was very surprised that that she just took it upon herself to say that she was implementing these steps right now. Why haven't they been implemented all along? They should have been in place by now so we could at least have a step up on these conditions that are coming that are looking like rough seas ahead.
Yeah, and you said there was a hiring freeze proposed?
That was part of the steps. Mm. And then, of course, we just got notice that there's a job fair for Pima County.
Yeah, that's coming up on February 8th, and from what I understand, there are certain areas where there are some pretty big shortages like IT and areas like that. But if anyone is interested, it is at the Keno Event Center Thursday, February 8th, which would be 1 week from today.
Wouldn't it be awful if we put this notice out to the public to come to the job fair and a couple of hundred people get hired, and then in a couple of months,
boy,
they're given the pink slip?
I hope that's not going to happen.
I guess that's a bad optic.
Yeah, that would be very bad. But there are openings, according to this news release, certainly in IT, especially IT, some of the health areas as well. All right, Steve Christie, stick around. We still have to talk about RTA next. Arizona Republic got a major story about what's going on here in Tucson over the RTA next, and it was not a real pretty picture. But anyway, I got news today from Steve, the owner up at Mona's, and he said, Bill, go ahead with the announcement. The liquor license, they've got the liquor license, and he showed me the case with, got some Prosecco in there, a little bit of this. I think they've got some beers. They are doing, it's full bore now. Liquor is being served at Mona's Danish Bakery, and they will be doing, that means for breakfast, the mimosa, orange juice, and champagne. But anyway, it's all available for you at Mona's Danish Bakery, where they open the doors at 6:30 in the morning, and they do a really nice lunch as well at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. Be right back with Steve Christie. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. Green Things looking real green. All that beautiful, all the plants there on their 13-acre site. And we've had some pretty good rain so far this winter, thanks to El Nino. We've got a couple more, as they say, the atmospheric river is coming our way. Certainly it has over in California. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. And when you're over at Green Things, stop by and look at their sister business on site called Zocalo Village, where they have beautiful items imported primarily from Mexico, some wonderful pottery, but they really have things from all over the world. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. They're open daily in their, well, they've been around for more than a half century, 53rd year of business. Steve Christie's been around as well here in Pima County. Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, the lone Republican on the five-member supervisorial board. Steve, I almost screwed up my own. I take such pride in saying that supervisorial. I almost screwed that up myself.
I think you're the only one in Pima County that can say it.
That can say it. Mr. Christie represents District 4. All right. The RTA next, and at the most recent board meeting, this came up. One supervisor, Dr. Matt Hines, who was just on our show on Monday, I guess he had some issues for a road job in your district.
Yeah, he had issues in a road project, RTA Next project.
The Next.
Uh-huh. In District 4, in my district, as well as some other alterations he wanted to forward to the RTA Next plan. And, of course, our representative to that board,
Rex Scott,
PAG and RTA, Pima Association of Governments, Rex Scott, he's the one that really is the one that has the say.
The as point far as, man.
And the vote.
Uh-huh. On the board.
On the board. And
on the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority board.
Right. And for Supervisor Hines to think that the Board of Supervisors can actually determine or dictate to those two boards any projects or iterations of projects or things of that nature is terribly misguided. And what Supervisor Hines was promoting was that a District 4 project, one that is highly regarded in my district and has the support of the school district, the Chamber of Commerce, the fire district, all citing safety and improvements and enhancements. Overwhelming support for this. Supervisor Hines asked that Supervisor Scott get that project removed from the plan and the money be allocated to other areas in the county and taken away from my district. That's the only district plan that District 4 has in RTA Next.
So you'd have no plan.
So we would have no plan. And that, you know, what,
well, how's that going to play with your district voters?
It would jeopardize their ability or their willingness to want to support RTA Next. So it seems to me that there might be a cohesive effort to try to kill RTA Next by some members in our community that are serving in electoral positions, either on the city council or on the Board of Supervisors. And again, this was a type of a situation where you have to look at, my district has had the highest and the biggest increase in population in the 2020 census, and it's continued. It's predicted to continue in that vein, and it was of such a substantial increase in population that during redistricting, we had to actually lose a lot of folks in my district and reallocate them to Supervisor Hines's district. So. It's amazing because RTA, by definition, is regional, not parochial, and the one regional project that is on the plan, Supervisor Hines wants it removed.
Well, the RTA Next was the subject of a major piece in the Phoenix-based Arizona Republic. Let me read you a couple of quotes. This is from Mayor Honey, Mayor of Marana, Ed Honey. Ed's been, I believe, the longest serving elected official in southern Arizona. He said, quote, "We are a long way from getting a settlement on the RTA next plan." And then at the most recent RTA board meeting on January 25th, Tucson Mayor Regina Romero, according to the Republic, demanded a return on investment for Tucson voters from the new RTA next plan. So,
well, as you know, I've been a very active critic of the city of Tucson's ability to try to gain control of the RTA.
Well, you said 2 years ago that you were very transparent. You came right out and said that the city of Tucson is trying to sabotage the plan.
They're sabotaging it and trying to kill it by death by a thousand cuts, and they're not honorable folks to deal with on this, because their whole goal is to obviously get rid of the RTA so they don't have to deal with it and use other tax increases to pay for their own maintenance, which they've neglected for decades. So they're so disingenuous over this whole issue, and I kept saying to the PAG RTA folks, you got to have a plan B, because the city of Tucson's not going to be here. They are not going to be here.
Could there have been a plan B, though, without the largest city in the area?
Well, I got to believe with all
something you said that maybe we should get creative and work around, and do a workaround.
Exactly, a workaround. And I would think with all the training and expertise and many years of experience in these matters that the Pima Association of Government staff, along with the RTA staff and all of the remaining jurisdictions, could definitely, I believe, come up with a very valid and sellable RTA next that did not include the city of Tucson. And I say, if the city of Tucson wants to leave, let them go on good riddance, because all we're going to be doing is appeasing them each step at a time. There's going to be one more time, one more time, one more time.
The horse racing issue came up. We've had horse racing at Rayito Downs forever, right? I mean, it's one of the oldest continuously operated tracks, but not this year.
Not this year. There are several foundations and organizations that support horse racing and support Rayito Downs and support the historical significance of the Rayito Downs. And apparently, and I have not been kept privy of this, which I usually am, because I'm a supporter of horse racing and I want to see Rayito Downs survive. But
you were kind of out of the loop on this.
This kind of took me by surprise. Apparently, they have some accounting issues and reporting issues in-house that they need to address that have not been addressed. And until they get addressed, there can't be any horse racing. So if getting their house in order is means not having a racing season, then so be it. But they need to get their house in order, because that is a huge draw and a huge tourist attraction in the middle of winter that is a staple of historical significance and draws tourists from around the world.
So we haven't talked about the migrant issue, which you're very passionate about. No more federal funds for the migrant issue. We do have some money through March, but after that, who knows?
Yeah, and that's going to be the real issue. But you know, I go back to the pro-migrant folks, the ones that feel that we need to open up our borders and let as many people in unaccounted for as we can. There was a really good op-ed that illustrates my point made by Mayor Regina Romero and Board of Supervisors Chair Adley de Grijalva. And they were saying that this is a federal government problem, and they were very mad at the federal government for not providing adequate funds, and that the thing we need to have, quote-unquote, comprehensive border reform is more money from the federal government. They didn't say anything about the federal government stopping this flow of immigration, illegal immigration across our borders. They're not mad at the government for not doing anything to stop the flow. They're mad at the federal government for not giving them enough money. And so when they keep saying it's a federal government problem, they're wrong, because the moment we, Pima County, took the first federal dollar, it became a Pima County problem. And this is what I think the decisive issue is. Is it the federal government's role? I would say that we notify the federal government immediately that we're shutting down our Drexel Avenue reception facility, that we shut down Casas Alitas, that we notify them, put them on notice that we are not going to be participating in asylum seeking processing or the allowing of illegal immigrants to come over into our country unaccounted for, and they can't count on Pima County to accommodate them anymore.
All right, the opinions of Steve Christie, who always says here on the program.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes.
I love being supervisor.
That's what you always say. And Steve Christie is standing for re-election. As far as you know, you've not heard of an opponent.
At this particular time, I have not.
Okay. All right, Steve Christie, all the best to you.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Renowned, world-famous comet discoverer Dr. David Levy is waiting in the wings on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show rolls on this Thursday. By the way, Laura Conover, Pima County attorney, will be my Friday Focus guest tomorrow. Be right back.
Dine-in or take-out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Whether you've considered an all-inclusive luxury cruise, an expedition adventure, or a relaxing river cruise, come to Bon Voyage Travel's annual showcase on March 3rd at the Hilton El Conquistador. Presentations will be offered throughout the day to provide you a chance to hear more about these travel brands and their exciting offers. Bill Buckmaster and I will be teaming up to present the travel trends of 2024. Visit bvtravel.com for more information on Bon Voyage Travel's free showcase on March 3rd.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We want to send as many of our listeners as possible over to a beautiful area of New Mexico, the land of enchantment. We're talking about the southwest portion of the state. It's Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The elevation, same as Denver, about 5,400 feet, something like that. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. You'll be very tempted by many outdoor activities like the hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and on it goes. Lots of stuff to do. It's great places to stay and to dine as well in historic Silver City. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to our contributor on science, Dr. David Levy, who is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. Dr. Levy, I presume. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty well, Bill, and it's good to hear your voice today.
Well, things are, you've got a little bit of, your comet search continues. It'd be nice if you could discover an even two dozen. You're at 23, but...
I'm at 23, and that's a good number. I still do the comet searching just because I love it.
You love it?
I don't expect to find another comet, but it's fun.
Is anything on the horizon for 2024?
Yeah, a comet called Shushan-Shan Atlas. Shushan-Shan is the name of the National Observatory in China, and Atlas is the abbreviation for another comet search program, and they working together somehow found a comet last year, which may or may not become very bright in the next few months, but we really don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
When was the brightest comet that you can recall that was visible in the daylight?
I think the brightest one was the first comet I ever saw, and I didn't see it when it was that bright, but it was minus 14, and in 1965, it was named Akeyes-Seki, and I believe that was certainly the brightest comet of the 20th century, and so far in the 21st, and boy, that was wonderful, I'll tell you. And that encouraged me to start my own search for comets, which I did on December 17th, 1965, and I'm still doing it.
Any eclipses on the horizon?
There may be an eclipse if you hold your breath and behave, which we don't want you to do, but if you do that, there will be a total eclipse of the sun on the 8th of April of this year. That's 2 months from now, a little over 2 months from now. And the totality path will not go through Arizona. There will be a total eclipse in Arizona around 500 years from now.
Oh, but yeah, mark my calendar.
But this one, yeah, you know, we'll be around, right? Mm-mm. But this one will be total in southwestern Texas, and the path will go through Texas, through the Midwest, and go up into the Great Lakes, just south of Toronto. It'll go through Kingston, Montreal, and then into the Maritime Provinces of Canada.
Mm.
And this is going to be a good one, Bill. On the center line, we should be able to see 4 minutes of total eclipse.
Oh, my. I thought two was usually about as long, but 4 minutes? Wow.
4 minutes. That's going to be really something, and I will be in southern Texas that time.
Yeah, that's huge. And a lunar eclipse next month, March.
There's a lunar eclipse 2 weeks before that, which I hope to see, and that will be visible from right here, Bill.
Oh, very cool.
And... So I will be out, And all being well, my friend, the lunar eclipse will be the 100th eclipse I have seen. The solar eclipse 2 weeks later will be the 101st eclipse that I have seen.
Incredible. Time for the quote of the month from Dr. David Levy on the Buckmaster radio program.
Okay, for the quote of the month, my friend, I'm going to go to a very, very simple concept. It's one of the most simple and beautiful things ever issued in science. It is called Olber's Paradox, and it simply says the night sky is dark. That is the premise, but the explanation which follows that is one of the most beautiful I've ever heard in science, and that is that the night sky is dark, therefore life is possible. And it took centuries for science to come up with the correct answer. However, the scientists didn't bother reading Edgar Allan Poe, because if they had read Edgar Poe, they would have come up with the solution in 1848. He wrote a prose poem called Eureka, and it kind of goes like this. No astronomical fallacy is more untenable, and none has been more pertinaciously adhered to than that of the absolute limitation of the universe of stars. Were the succession of stars endless, then the background of the sky would present to us a uniform luminosity like that displayed by the galaxy, since there could be absolutely no point in all that background at which would not exist a star. The only mode, therefore, in which, under such a state of affairs, we could comprehend the voids in which our telescopes find in innumerable directions would be by supposing that the distance of the invisible background is so immense that no ray from it has yet been able to reach us at all. That this may be so, who shall venture to deny? And he got it right. The famous writer of the poem The Raven, one of the greatest American writers in history, Edgar Poe, got it right in 1848. And I just wanted to share that beautiful thing with your listeners.
Thank you very much, David. We hope you have a great afternoon. Hope all is well with you, David.
You too, Bill.
Thank you very much. Dr. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. We will have the attorney, Don Luce, on our live line after we take a quick break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our lifeline for our telephone interviews is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are joined on the lifeline now by attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, with offices here in Tucson and up in Phoenix in the Valley of the Sun. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don is joining us now on the live line. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. The number one issue, we had a representative from the Tucson Chamber on our program on our Monday one-on-one talking about this issue with theft. Retailers are very, very concerned with it. Now it looks like there's a move in the state legislature to get lawmakers involved and perhaps a tougher law aimed at thieves.
There is a bill pending. It's House Bill 2435. So this bill, which is new, by the way, and I should mention that it hasn't gone to a committee hearing yet, but the bill's been introduced and it will go through the process, would make it a more serious, from a penalty perspective, a more serious offense to be a repeat, essentially, organized crime thief, right? So what does that mean? There are syndicates or organizations of criminals that target retail stores with the purpose of stealing products that can then be resold. And I think most of your listeners have probably seen recent video clips of this happening. I think there was one at a cosmetic store where a large amount of product was stolen. It had a high value, and the thieves probably were going to resell it, given the large amount or the large quantity of the product that was stolen. In Arizona, we have the it's called the Arizona Retailers Association. You had mentioned the Chamber of Commerce. These organizations are very concerned with this seeming pattern of organized retail theft. And the thinking is that we need to crack down on this or it's going to become an epidemic, that, you know, we're all going to go into the store one day and our favorite product is going to be locked behind a pane of glass, and we're going to have to ask for assistance to get it out. Not to mention, of course, that, well, guess who pays the cost of all of this theft? It's the consumers. I mean, the stuff that we buy necessarily reflects the cost to the retailer to carry the inventory, and if part of the inventory is stolen, then they need to replace that and pass the cost on to the other consumers. So HB 2435 would essentially allow a judge in Arizona to sentence someone who has a record of at least two prior convictions to 4.5 years in state prison. The current penalty is 2.5 years. So two prior convictions, 4.5 years, currently 2.5 years. I think your listeners will also remember the phrase, three strikes, you're out. It was a law that was enacted in California decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
This proposal has a lot of similarity to that. In other words, and maybe this isn't the best way to phrase it, but you get a couple of, you know, like low penalty chances to get it right. And, you know, on the third time, you go away to prison for
yes.
nearly 5 years.
Yeah.
So who's in favor of this? Well, the bill was proposed by the House Speaker, Ben Thoma, and it was co-sponsored by the Maricopa County Attorney, Rachel Mitchell. Here's where it gets a little bit interesting. Don't ever assume that county attorneys throughout the state share similar views. Rachel Mitchell, and I know you don't,
no.
Rachel Mitchell is a proponent of this tougher penalty for organized criminals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Conover, who is
Laura Conover.
I'm sorry, Laura. Yeah. I misspoke. Mm-hmm. Laura Conover, who's our county attorney here in Pima County, is opposed to it. And our county attorney says there's no need to increase the penalty for this because we already have existing statutes on the books that we can use to put these organized criminals behind bars for longer periods. And she cites to the fraudulent schemes statutes that make it a Class 2 felony, and in the case of repeat offenders, can actually increase the penalty of somewhere between 5 to 15 years in prison. So you have two county attorneys in the two most populous counties in the state of Arizona with diametrically opposed views on this issue, which I find very interesting.
And we will, of course, ask Pima County Attorney Laura Conover about that tomorrow. She'll be our Friday Focus interview. It is kind of interesting, the two most populous counties. You've got the chief legal officer of the counties disagreeing. Let's move on, Don Luce, to psychedelic mushrooms. How's that for a segue? It's totally unrelated.
Well, as long as we don't have to take out our baggies and, you know, get one out right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the only thing that's related to these two stories, it is in the House of Representatives. But go ahead.
True that. Okay, so psilocybin is the active ingredient in various kinds of mushrooms that produces hallucinations, or induces hallucinations, I should say. There's anecdotal evidence that active chemical compound is effective in treating long-term depression in certain subjects who have been part of a previous test on the effectiveness of, and we'll just say magic mushrooms because that's the way that everybody refers to these things, 57% find relief from severe depression by taking these magic mushrooms as a therapy or a treatment. It's mostly from what I can tell, I shouldn't say mostly, but it's greatly PTSD patients, right? And for whatever reason, the psilocybin works favorably to reduce those symptoms. And so earlier, the legislature authorized the expenditure of $5 million to conduct a test program to see if this is true, that if psilocybin has any beneficial effective medical benefit. Well, the problem is, there's several problems. Number one, the program that was authorized is set to sunset soon. The distribution of the $5 million has to be made in the next several weeks, actually maybe in the next week. So by 11-3 vote, the Arizona House Military Affairs and Public Safety Committee passed a resolution to extend the deadline for the program until July 1 of 2026, right? That would then give the participants' time to actually, this is going to sound kind of crazy maybe, but to grow the mushrooms. You know, you got to grow the mushrooms for the program. But here's where the problem is. The mushrooms that contain psilocybin are categorized as Schedule I drugs by the DEA.
Oh, boy.
Similar to heroin, LSD, and marijuana. Where have we heard that before?
Yep.
So in order for this program to actually take place, the state has to get the DEA to sign off on allowing the growth of the mushrooms in the first place. So bottom line, this bill, which was passed by the Military Affairs and Public Safety Committee in the House, would extend the program deadline by about a year, and it would give the people in the program time to get DEA approval, actually grow the mushrooms, test the mushrooms, and so forth. And there's $5 million available to fund this. So the opponents of this program point to the fact that the state's facing a deficit, right? So they're saying tough decisions have to be made. We don't have enough money to pay for everything that everyone wants to do. So maybe this program just gets cut and we save $5 million. I think everyone understands that $5 million is a drop of water in a bucket when it comes to the state budget, but it's more, I think, how the money's being spent that people are reacting to rather than the fact that it's $5 million. But that's where we're at with the magic mushrooms.
All right, Don Luce, I've only got, let's say, about 2 minutes. There is, it looks like, shaping up funding over education, that battle shaping up again at the legislature.
Yes. So back in 2016, so we're talking about 8 years ago, Prop 123 was passed at the ballot box. And under Prop 123, the amount that was permitted to be distributed from the sale of public lands was increased from 2.5% to 6.9%. So that's more than a double, right? And that was 8 years ago. There are a series of resolutions being discussed, debated, and argued over in the legislature to change that 6.9 to 8.9. Mm. So if you want to think of it in historical terms, if it does get increased to 8.9, that would mean that from 2016 until 2024, a period of 8 years, it went from 2.5 to 8.9. That's more than a triple. So the Republicans are opposed to that. The governor and most, if not all, of the Democratic legislators are in favor of that. They want to increase the spending for education, and they believe that 8.9 is an appropriate amount. The state treasurer, this is where it gets a little bit interesting, Kimberly Yee, says that's more than what we have. She's saying the trust can only support 4 to 5% a year, and 8.9%, you know, isn't, we don't have that money, guys. Yeah. She's claiming that it would be unconstitutional.
Okay.
So what we're seeing is a legislative battle over that issue. You can expect to see, I believe, several ballot initiatives on the 2024 ballot. So just
Or
8 months from now, we're going to vote on it.
All right. Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Thank you very much, Don. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Don Luce and John, engineering and producing the program, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.